Have you ever had a house guest who would not leave?
Yes, Eliza, I did.
Who?
It was a Swedish meatball. That's what we called him.
How long did he stay?
It was several months.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And okay. I actually think he may have feigned some injury in order to stay longer.
Wow.
Yeah.
You do have great hospitality.
What can I say?
Let's get into it then.
Okay. Let's get into it.
Welcome to Never Not New York, your little podcast with a slice of New York City life that is not the propaganda you see in movies and on TV. We're here to tell you what's actually happening. I am Never Not Eliza.
And I am Never Not Me Young.
And we are friends and neighbors reporting live from Brooklyn. And also, may I just say, welcome back from the holiday break. We took a couple weeks off. Are you feeling refreshed? Do you have house guests?
I still have house guests. It just happens.
Soft start to this year.
Just easing my way in.
Good. Okay. Well, follow us wherever. We're everywhere. Listen to us wherever. We're also everywhere.
Yes.
And today's episode, we are talking about the meatball who would not leave. Okay. Set the scene for me.
Okay. Well, this was in, I guess, the mid-2000s. Ooh. They had just put through the mandate that you have to smoke outside.
Wow.
And at the time, I was still smoking. Yeah.
Were you smoking a lot, or was this like a social smoking?
I think I was more social smoking at the time. But I really enjoyed the cigarette. And I actually appreciated that they put the cigarettes outside, because you would have a little, you know, a little bit of tete-a-tete outside with whoever the other smokers are. And it was a rainy night in New York City, and I was hanging out in the West Village in a brasserie.
Sounds like a film noir start.
Yeah, it was beautiful. And I was having my cigarette, and I saw this striking man, very tall, blonde hair, wearing a trench coat.
Okay, this is really in a film noir.
Yes. We started talking a little bit.
So you thought, let me take him down.
Yeah, I needed to talk to him a little bit more. He was very good looking.
Okay.
And so we sat next to each other in the bar. I found out that he was from Sweden, and he was just in New York looking for work. Had just finished a program at Yale for international relations.
Wow.
Had been working as an intern at the UN.
So he was smart, presumably rich, to just be hanging out in New York trying to find a job.
And a trench coat.
Very good looking,
very
tall.
Good looking, tall, handsome. Swedish, great.
And you think, why is he single?
Exactly. I didn't really think about that at the time. And then we just started making out.
So. Was he a good kisser?
He was a very good kisser.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're thinking, like, finally, the good Lord has sent me.
I thought he was the perfect guy. Come on. Everything is there on paper.
Did you take him home that night?
I have to say, it's very few and far between when I do these kinds of things, but I thought the good Lord had sent me an angel, and I thought I should take the angel home with me.
I would have done the same thing. Are you kidding? Underhand toss.
He seemed really safe. He was Swedish. I don't know why that makes a difference, but they seem like a gentle people.
They don't seem as violent.
Yeah. Not very harsh. Very modest, actually.
Very polite.
Okay. So I took him home.
Did you get to know each other?
We did.
Did you keep your clothes on?
I will plead the fifth on that.
Perfect. Okay. So the Swedish meatball.
Yes.
He comes to your house.
Yes.
He decides it's too glorious to leave.
And what can I say? I was living on a full floor through in a brownstone.
Wow.
Had a deck.
Wow.
Beautiful brownstone in Brooklyn.
Wow.
And it was nice. I mean, I'm pretty accommodating. I'm one of these, you know, I'm part Asian, so you have to be a hostess. I'm very into, like, you know, taking care of my guests. And
honestly, you really are.
And it was very cozy for him. And so he stayed.
So, okay. He came to your house and he had no plan.
He had no plan, except he was going to try to find a job.
Where was he staying before that?
I believe he was staying at the American hostel.
He goes from a hostel to living with you, and, like, let me guess, you're catering to him.
Yes.
Waiting on him hand and foot.
Yes, I was really taking care of him, because he was
making sure each meatball was
feeling good. He's really good looking.
The power of looks. It reminds me of that convict, you know, that mugshot. He did something terrible, but he was so good looking. Shocking what people get away with.
A lot of serial killers, honestly, I watch a lot of the shows, and they're good looking. Listen, there are ones that are not very good looking at all. But there are several that I'm like, they wouldn't really have to try hard to get a woman interested in them.
Interesting. Back to your meatball. He has no plan to leave. So what are the days like? What happens?
So during the day, I go to work.
Great.
And he hangs out in my apartment naked.
Is he... Is he like cleaning or?
No, he's just hanging out, watching TV on my couch, naked.
Day after day, week after week.
And he would call me. And then occasionally he would meet up with a friend.
Okay.
On one occasion, and this is where the shit hit the fan.
Oh boy.
He didn't come home all night. So I was really worried. I thought, oh my God, something happened to him.
Now, just a quick question here.
Yeah.
In my mind, I would go in one of two directions. I would think, one, he's found someone else and he's cheating on me with a new person. But then I would also think he's dead.
Yeah. I was really worried about him. I thought something bad happened to him.
Yeah.
And in fact, something bad did happen to him, Eliza.
Stop it.
Yeah.
What was it?
So, well, he showed up in my door the next morning, right before work, with
early.
A bouquet of flowers.
Oh, yeah. Dear. Oh, well, then you know something's really wrong.
Yeah.
See, that's when I would lean towards another transgression.
Yes. He ended up in the drunk tank all night.
Oh,
he got picked up for drunk and disorderly conduct.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That's not good when you're trying to be like a UN person.
Yeah. He wanted to go to the UN. So he shows up my doorstep with the flowers.
Were they nice flowers?
It was a pretty bouquet.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, I'm sure he got it at the deli. Whatever.
Good looking. Nice bouquet.
Yeah. Looking with a nice bouquet. I'm thinking to myself, okay, I guess I have to forgive him because he
he
was in the. It's not like he was cheating on me. He was in the drunk tank.
Right. Yeah.
But apparently he was very confused by how he ended up in the drunk tank, because in Sweden, people get drunk all the time and pass out on the park benches, and the Swedish police will just drive you home for the night.
Is it because it's like dark 90% of the year?
I think people get wasted all the time in Sweden. It's a very accepted way of being, and I don't blame them.
I don't know if I'd survive. I already have seasonal affectiveness disorder.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any more Wellbutrin I could be taking to keep me happy.
No.
For like 2 hours of light only a day.
I don't know how they survive it.
No, me neither.
Know? I
me
mean,
neither. A lot of vodka. Yeah. Well, that's also Russia, too. Actually, the drinking problems are starting to make sense. Yeah, being overserved.
They get really well, they're well taken care of.
So, but they're nice Europeans. Everyone knows they're nice.
Well, and I think he thinks, or was thinking, he's a nice person, but apparently he was disorderly, had forgotten to pay the bill, and then became argumentative, and that's how he ended up in the drunk tank.
Yeah, because I feel like just not paying the bill would not be...
If he forgot to pay the bill, he should have just paid the bill when they asked him to pay the bill, but I think he just thought he had paid the bill. I have no idea, actually. It is a bit of a mystery how he ended up in the drunk tank.
Yeah, exactly.
Not
fully
clear what happened there. I mean, I don't know if he's fully clear what happened.
So he comes home with flowers.
So then, of course, now it's a big crisis because he wants to work for the UN or an agency like that.
Okay.
And he can't have a criminal record. He had to go to court.
Oh, my God.
And he, so
like proper, like court
proper
dates.
Court.
Oh,
so
wow,
then
okay.
I, who have never been to court or any of that. And actually, even at that point, I don't think I've even done like jury duty at that time.
I kind of want to know what it's like in the drunk tank.
We could find out.
I'm sure there's a YouTube video. Okay, so you have to go to these court dates. That's great.
I go with him to the court.
That's nice of you. He's really lucked out.
Yes. But the thing is that he also is very difficult. Like, I think he was bipolar. I think he had
difficult for you?
Yeah, but he was depressed a lot. And then he would get upset and he was just railing against his fate. But it was his fault. All this stuff was his fault, right? But he's just like, why me? You know, I just think he's very spoiled. And it was almost like he was, I had a teenager that was just, you know, hanging out in my apartment, making a lot of phone calls to his parents and having arguments with them in Swedish. So I didn't understand what he was saying, but there were a lot of Swedish arguments. And then at one point, I guess he'd been sitting around on the couch too much naked, but his disc slipped on his back.
No way.
Yeah.
Do you think it really happened?
Well, this is where we have to wonder, because I really was trying to get him out of my house at this point.
Like asking him to leave?
Yeah.
And he's like, I can't?
Right. He's like, I'm in too much trouble. I don't have enough money, yada, yada, yada. And I felt sorry for him. Yeah. And then he called me up from the floor.
Okay.
Naked, saying, I did something to my back. I can't get off the floor. Yeah. So, what a bit of trouble. I came home from work. Came home from work.
Interesting.
Yeah, very interesting.
Uh-huh. I threw my back out a lot last year. A lot.
Yeah.
It was bad.
You were able to move a little though, right?
Well, there were certain times that like Matt had to literally peel me off the floor.
Yeah.
But even like one twitch one way or the other was too painful.
Well,
like I couldn't even lie in bed because it was too unstable. Yeah. I had to lay on the floor.
I mean, he was on my floor for a couple of days. And basically what I did
was... What about like going to the bathroom?
Well, I rolled him into a sleeping bag and I put an empty Sunny Delight bottle.
Did you say Sunny Delight?
It was a Sunny Delight bottle. Oh, why was disgusting. I drinking? Why was I drinking Sunny Delight?
It was really cool, probably. I guess you at were the time. Just a cool girl.
Why was I drinking that? So anyways, I don't drink it anymore. I mean, after he was urinating in the Sunny Delight bottle.
Disgusting.
At one point,
were
he had
were you draining it?
I did.
Terrible. Yeah. That's terrible.
Yeah.
What about when he had to, you know, do more than just pee?
That's when I dragged him all the way across the apartment to the other side of the apartment and into the bathroom, where he then climbed precariously onto the toilet. From there, I was able to get him into the bed. And then he was stuck in my bed. I couldn't get him out of my bed.
God. He was definitely going to the bathroom during the day. He was getting out of bed.
Oh, he was.
I think he was milking this.
I feel certain he was milking it. Eventually, I had all my friends kind of do an intervention.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
and they were all like, how are we going to get him out? You got to get him out. I told him, listen, you got to go to a hotel.
Okay,
how
did
I made
take
him
it?
Go to a hotel. He was not happy. He was, I'm telling you, it was like a teenager, like a recalcitrant teenager. Oh,
good word.
Yeah, thank you. Well, he was talking to his parents the entire time, like having arguments with them on the phone and crying. I mean, you know,
really
having tantrums. So they agreed to pay for his hotel.
This is absurd. This
in New York.
Absurd.
And he gets a hotel in the Upper West Side.
Okay.
So I get him into a cab, get him up to the hotel, and then he's up there in the hotel all depressed and just having a really horrible time.
But you stayed in contact.
I stayed in contact, and I think it's because he was so good looking.
Absolutely. Did he ever go back to Sweden, or is he still up on the Upper West Side?
No, he eventually went back to Sweden because he had to.
Okay.
3 months, right? 3 months to your visa expired.
Oh, yeah.
So he ended up back in Sweden. And then, I don't know, I thought, well, maybe he was just having a really hard time in New York, you know?
Let me guess.
I went up to visit him. Why not? He managed to make that trip very depressing in a lot of ways. And we ended up staying at the country house. They always have country houses in Sweden.
Beautiful,
on the islands. It was so sad because like everything was so perfect about him except
for his mental health.
He was crazy. He was like a crazy person.
Wow.
So the last night that I'm in Sweden.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to get off the island to get to the airport. He deliberately messes that up ferry schedule. I'm pretty sure it was deliberate. And we end up having to hire a water taxi.
No way.
And, like, I spend like an extra $200 to get off the island and get to my plane the next day.
Wow. Yeah. So he was still trying.
He wanted to marry me. And I was like,
I would have wanted to marry you too.
Oh, it's so upsetting that he was so crazy.
Yeah.
Because everything else was great.
Yeah. Small problem.
His parents were really nice. Okay. His mom really liked me. I was like, this is so terrible. Why can't I just have something go right?
Vacation house.
Yeah. Vacation house. I mean, European passport. You know what I mean?
Did you ever see him again after that?
I never saw him after that. And I had this $1,700 phone bill that was a leftover from
him.
I contacted his parents and I was like, listen, I'm really worried about your son. And he has to... It's a $1,700 phone bill.
He owes me a lot of money. Yeah.
They were very kind. They wired me the money.
Wow. Okay.
And then I didn't hear from him until he tried to Facebook friend me or LinkedIn.
No,
it was a Facebook
way.
Friend. And I just ignored it because I didn't want to go back in there.
Wow. Good for you.
Mental
Staying
illness.
Strong.
I stayed strong. I mean, you know, the allure.
Would you say hi to him if you saw him on the street, or would you duck and hide?
I think I might duck and hide.
What is your lesson that you learned here? I mean, I have one striking lesson that I think is a good reminder for all of us, which is we live in New York City, and that means everyone wants to come visit, which is great, but you have to have an exit plan.
Exit strategy, very important. I had no idea how important it is, and now I understand.